Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T. Thank you so much for listening in. And I just want to bless all of you. Have a great Thanksgiving with your family, friends. Pop and I, we're going to go out and feed some of our homeless friends and give them some good old warm chicken noodle soup and all kinds of goodies. But for the rest of you, just enjoy whatever it is that God has called you to do. Just be thankful and grateful. Hey, I want to open up with Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He has delivered me from the snares of the fowlers and from the perilous pestilence. Okay, I'm going to stop there. You can go ahead and finish reading that. I just want to open up with that because that's the foundation that the Lord put on my heart to do this series that I'm doing called God Cannot Be Trusted and Five Other Lies of Satan from Tony Evans' book. And we've already looked at the introduction that Satan is the father of all lies. John 8:44, Jesus said that. And then we looked at the first lie of Satan's is that he doesn't want us to believe that he exists, and I talked on that, and then God is holding out on us, and I did a three parts to each one of these lies, and this is the third part on this lie. God is holding out on you. So if you missed any of these broadcasts, just go to www.lovebyexample.com and click on radio. You'll see the little tabs up there on our website. Just click on radio, and then you can go right to it and pick whichever one you want to listen to and just let the Word of God penetrate and the Spirit of God open up your eyes to see the truth that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. And he speaks lies, and they come in the form of words. And they come in a form of words and thoughts that are contrary to what God's destiny and plan is for your life. And so you need to be in the Word, be around Word, faith-filled people to help you, like iron sharpens iron, to discover what it is that God has called you to do. How you can understand that unique, custom-made destiny that God has planned for you. Because in Ephesians 2:8, he says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And in Romans 7:4, it says that we're married to him, that we can bear fruits of holiness and righteousness. So you need to know that. Okay, so many people are wandering around not having a clue of what their purpose is in life, why they're here. And as I said in my book, Do You See What I See? On page 17, I have those three questions. You know, who am I? Why am I here? And what's my purpose? Well, you can find the answer to those purposes and your existence by staying in the Word of God. Adam and Eve, we've been talking about them. They had a purpose. They were supposed to subdue everything. Control and till and take care of the garden. They could eat from any tree that they wanted to eat except for one. And guess what? The enemy came in and tricked them, deceived them, and they bit into his lie, into his nasty fruit and his lie, and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And from that time on, sin entered and death entered. And they died. Now, they didn't die right away physically, but they died spiritually. And there's three kinds of death. Physical death. I think Adam lived to be, 930 years in Genesis 5. So they died physically later, but spiritual death filtrated the whole humanity. But God's mercy and grace, he pronounced that in Genesis 3:15. And he talked about that all the way through the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the theme of everything to take back what the enemy has stolen and put his righteousness in the hearts of those who would believe. And then one day there'll be a kingdom ruled with no sin, no Satan, no death forever and ever. But meanwhile, this is where we're at now. We're in the interim. We who believe, profess to believe, must understand that the enemy is real. And we must stand against his lies. Now, in Tony's book, I went through a lot. I won't go back a lot because I want to finish up today. But God is holding out on you. That's one of Satan's lies. We looked at how he just will get you to focus on your cup being half empty instead of having it half full and running over, Psalms 23. So he wants you to focus on what you don't have or anything. You know how that is. Negativity plagues all of us. All those negative demonic thoughts of limiting ourselves, seeing lack and not plenty. It's all because our focus is wrong. We need to choose to focus on the good things that God has given us and count our blessings and be thankful. Now, I'm going to conclude Tony's book, and he starts here in his little book. It's called A Choosing to See the Positive. He says, well, how can we make this correction? What can we do even after being born again? How can we really press in and abide and see the things that God wants us to see? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the illumination. He wants to. That's his job. But we have to do something about it. We have to dig and choose. And that's Proverbs 25. It says that the thoughts of a person's heart is like deep water. And those who understand that, that there's a treasure in that deep water, that there's a treasure in that heart, a treasure in you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, we have to dig in that if we understand and believe that. And we call it here in our Bible studies, wax off and wax on, renewing our mind every single day with the Word of God. So here's what Tony says. Choosing to see the positive. He says, when Eve omitted the word freely from God's original command, she left out a key word in a lot of scriptures. When we read the word freely in the Bible, it almost always denotes God's grace. And remember I told you that I learned that the word grace, the acronym is God's riches at Christ's expense. So G, God, R, riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. So it's God's riches at Christ's expense. He died for us and rose for us so we could have his righteousness. I mean, when you look at Romans 1 through 6, all the way Romans, actually 1 through 7, the whole from chapter 1 through 7, it's all about Paul saying, look, it's not your righteousness that gets you right with God. It's not what you do that makes you right with God. It's not what you don't do. It's nothing that you can do to be right with God, because every human being has been tainted and defiled by sin. But it's Christ's righteousness freely given to us. And that's when Romans 8 comes in and says it's all by the Holy Spirit leading us and teaching us how to lean and depend on his Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? So when you think of the word grace, think of that, God's riches at Christ's expense. For example, the Apostle Paul wrote that we've been justified freely. Justified is another word, just means declared right with God when you receive and believe what God has said for you about your life and relationship with him through his son. We've been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Redemption means Jesus bought us back from the slave market of sin. Hallelujah. Romans 3:24. But it gets better. Later on in Romans, Paul wrote, he, God, the Father, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That's Romans 8:32. That's all things, folks, Tony Evans says. Not some things, not most things, but all things. We need to live a happy, joyous life in Jesus Christ. Wow. There it is in writing. God desires more than anything to freely give us all things. He wants us to have an intimate fellowship with him and the kind of life that will overflow with such kindness and such love that we will experience the abundant life that Jesus talks about. Remember John 10:10? We read earlier, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. See, if you don't have peace. Let's just take peace. If you don't have peace of mind, peace in your life, peace in the midst of the storms, and it's just the opposite. You have to take like these anxiety pills and you get these panic attacks and you're worried about this and you're frustrated about this and just one thing after another seems to be going wrong in your life. You know what it is? Your focus is wrong. You are not focusing on God and his love for you and his son, because God promises that peace, if you look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, it says that peace and grace is multiplied. And you know how it's multiplied? In the knowledge of who God says you are in Christ. And then at the last chapter in 2 Peter 3:16-17, it says, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want more peace to get multiplied in your life, you need to change your focus. See your cup half full. See, God has already got a plan for you. You don't need to do anything but just trust in him, lean on him, read his word, believe his word, hang with other people that do and that know more than you do, that are actually living out this supernatural life. And when I say supernatural, you have to think about it this way. In Romans 6:6-13, it says that born-again believers are believers that have been dead but have risen again. So you got to learn how to walk and live this resurrection, living, abundant life. We've never did it before. So we need to follow the manual, which is the Word of God, God's Word speaking truth. Satan's going to come against that. He's going to try to keep you focused on the five sense realm. Look at your cup half empty. Compare yourself with other people and have a pity party. And just look at everybody else that's kind of doing the same thing. Everybody's gossiping, complaining about each other instead of focusing on who they are in Christ and pursuing who they are in Christ so they can bless others and watch God's intimate fellowship work and flow through them. But you got to choose. You got to choose freedom. God gave Adam and Eve a choice in the Garden of Eden. He had planted all sorts of trees, and all of which were pleasing to look at, and all which bore fruit sweeter and tastier than anything we could imagine. But only two of those trees are mentioned specifically, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:9. Remember I talked about those two choices. In the earlier broadcast, we have two choices. We have two trees. We have two ways, two destinations, two paths, two gates, two foundations, you know, two groups of people. And all those trees look like that they're going to lead to life, but only one leads to life. And it's the narrow way. It's what God's word says, which is if he says, don't go that way and go this way, then you go the way that God says. Okay. That's just the way it is. God doesn't negotiate with his words and say, well, maybe you could take a, no, he's not like that. I love it too. He just says it's right here. It's plain and simple. And it's bottom line, Deuteronomy 30. I've given you life, death, blessings or cursing. Choose life so you can live. The tree of life, which was one of those trees God said to Adam and Eve could eat freely from. Look at that. Is a picture of personal fellowship with God. Which we now have through Jesus Christ. That's the same kind of relationship Adam and Eve had with God before they fell into sin, before they believed the lie of the devil. He sins from the beginning. Remember John 8. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies. When he speaks lies. And if we believe those lies, it turns into sin because we're being lawless against God. And that's what 1 John 4:3 says, sin is lawlessness, okay? And to know to do good and not do it, that is sin too. That's Romans 14, I believe, the last verse. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, on the other hand, represented having to come to God based on a list of rules. Now, I look at it like this. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is basically selfishness. It's operating in the flesh. It's doing the way you want to do it. It's just, you know, you're just following a list of rules of what someone else said, which is really the root is, and the source is Satan, okay? That's the one who's speaking. Now, remember, I said earlier, we're not just focusing on Satan. We're focusing on Satan. He is the source of evil, but his words, and that's where we get to take responsibility over the words that we're going to choose to believe. So we have an active part in this. We can't just blame Satan. Satan did this. No. That's his job. What God is saying, look, I've given you the power to choose. So we have a responsibility to choose life or death. That's why we need to be renewing our mind every single day. And in my book, in the third chapter, I have a plan called the 3M plans, memorize, meditate, and mouth it. And I teach people how to take the first letter of each word. It's in my book. And you can memorize large portions of scriptures. And while you're memorizing, you're not just memorizing and say, hey, look, be all fleshy, like, look what I did. No, you're memorizing this so you can get rid of those toxic thoughts because God's word is alive. Light, and it will shine on those toxic thoughts that you've been thinking maybe for years, or memories that you've been holding on for years that have been toxic to your body, toxic to your brain. And God will show you where the errors of your way to convict you, not to condemn you, but to convict you and to encourage you to continue in the Word so you can get rid of them and learn to walk in who he has called you to be. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. I think the problem with most believers is that they know that they're born again. They love the Lord with all their heart. Really, they do. They go to church, they pay their tithes, they do all those things, but they don't renew their minds. And that's the discipline they have to learn to do. And believe me, I'm telling you from experience, once you get on that track of memorizing scriptures, meditating on them, and then mouthing them, I'm telling you, Philemon 6 will become a reality, that the sharing of your faith might become effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, and you will have a thankful heart. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. And the relationship, the intimate personal relationship that you have with God working in you, building Christ in you, you're decreasing, your selfish ways are decreasing, and you're eating more and more from the tree of life. Because the tree of life is just a picture of Christ, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a picture of the flesh, basically. The first Adam and then the second Adam is the tree of life. The New Testament would call that the difference between grace and law. With the grace tree, which is the tree of life, you got intimate fellowship with God based on purely on a relationship itself. Wow. With the law tree, you got a list of rules. That's Satan. That's what he does. Puts you under guilt and shame and tells you if you don't do more of this and you should do less of that. There's always a condition. In order for you to really be right with God, to be accepted with God, you got to do something first before you can come to God. That is not true. That is not true. Christ did it all. Now, we do things because we love God, but it's from the love of God. See, I don't have to work at trying to be victorious. I'm already victorious. What I do, I enforce my victory. I maintain my victory. I guard my victory, which is in Christ Jesus, that I have to work through my mind. So I'm not out trying to get anything from God because I've already got everything in Christ Jesus. That's why I wear a seed around my neck. 1 Peter 1:3 and 1 Peter 1:23 that reminds me that I've been born again with an incorruptible seed that'll live and abide forever. So to put it another way, when God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he wasn't holding out on them in any way. He was offering them his very best, and he still does it today, brothers and sisters. God offers his very, very best, and that's what he wants for us. He wants us to experience his very, very best. But as I said, that we need to get a handle on the difference between God's divine accomplishment and human achievement. See, the scriptures say in Isaiah 64:6 that all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and they're like, we're like a leaf. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Isaiah 64. Let me find it here really quick. Oh my gosh, I just love doing this show. I just hope that you're getting a lot out of it. I'm being blessed by being able to do this, and I thank the Lord for you listening. And if I can help in any way, please, please contact me anytime. It says right here in Isaiah 64:6, it says, We all are like unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We have all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. We have been taken away. See, that's talking about our humanness. That's talking about our human physical body, our physical brain, our physical body, our physical lungs, our physical, anything that has to do with the physical part of our being, that's what it's talking about. And any efforts that we do from this physical beings is called our righteousness, our self-righteousness. Remember that story we read about the Pharisee and the tax collector? They both went to church, and the Pharisee, he was looking down on the tax collector. Let me see if I can find that really quick. He was looking down on the tax collector and saying, basically, the scriptures say he went to church to pray to himself. It says right here, he says, and Jesus spoke the parable to some who trusted in themselves. See, he's trusting in his own self effort to be right with God. Not trusting in Christ. Wow. And they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. This is in Luke 18. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus, saying to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Then he starts telling God what he does. I fast twice a week, I tithe, and that I give all my possessions to the poor. He's just going on and on and on with this list of things that he does. But you know what Jesus said? There was a group right here in John 6:20, right here. John 6:20. Oh, where is it at, Lord? Right here. John 6:20. When they asked him, they said, well, what must we do to do the works of God? Let me find it here for you. And Jesus says, Well, he's telling them stop judging from the outside. But right here, John 6, he was saying, they were coming to him and said, well, what must we do to do the works of God? You know? And he says here, it's John 6, verse 20. Okay, right here, 28. He says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? So what kind of performances, what kind of things do we need to do or not do, basically, to be accepted by God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work, I love this, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. That's it. Brothers and sisters, basically, bottom line is, God wants you just to believe his word. That's it. Just believe it. Believe it and receive it. And watch God do the transforming work. And my book, Do You See What I See, is based off of 4 P's. Getting a brand new position, having brand new supernatural power, performing from there, and then staying in his presence. That's what it's about. Satan's going to try to tell you he doesn't exist. There's no enemy. People are your enemies, not Satan, not his toxic thoughts. And that's Romans 7. You need that Romans 7 to close those that door of those toxic thoughts. And you need Romans 12, too, not to be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God for you, your destiny. So he does exist. And Satan wants you to believe God is holding out on you because things aren't coming the way you want them to come. But guess what? James 3 says, or 4 says, basically a lot of prayers aren't being answered because you're praying for your own, what you want. You're not praying what God's will is. You're praying selfish prayers and you're not going to receive anything, or you're praying double-minded prayers. You know, one minute you're so, what they say, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, and then the next minute you're just see, brothers and sisters, it is so simple. Just get in the word. I'm telling you, that's all. That's why I just teach the word of God, because that's all that's going to matter. The word of God is life. In John 6:63, Jesus says, my words are life and spirit. And I want you to have life. I want you to experience abundant life. Here's what it says in James chapter 3, chapter 4. He says, He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do not they come from your desires, your pleasures that you war in your members? See that flesh, that sin? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. And you fight and war. Yet you do not have because here, look at this. You do not ask. Here it is, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So a lot of reasons people don't receive answered prayers from God is right here, James 4:3. You're asking amiss. Amiss means the wrong way. And you know why it's wrong? Because you're asking for your pleasures, for what you want. Now, does that mean God doesn't want you to have things that you want? No. But he first wants you to check with him so he can make sure he's giving you the best. And you know what? When you start living like that, you're going to want what God's giving you. You're not going to want what you've been getting. Because I don't think a lot of people are happy with what they're getting even right now. So brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know I love you. I hope these blogs are helping you. I just want you to know that Satan does exist. His lies turn into thoughts. You can renew your mind with that. God is not holding out on you. And this concludes the first two lies. Now we're going to enter in next time on the third lie, which is God cannot be trusted. Oh my gosh, you got to see that one. You got to see that one. I'm going to break them up in 3 parts, as I said. So, but you might want to get this book. It's a cute little book, God Cannot Be Trusted and 5 Other Lies of Satan by Dr. Tony Evans. He's one of my teachers from a distance. And I just want you to know, I love you. I pray that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, however you spend it. Don't spend it alone in a pity party, because nobody's going to come except for demons and Satan, and they don't mean you any good, okay? You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and just be thankful. See your cup half full and running over, and just say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hallelujah.